We're now starting a new sefer, which the art school calls Bamidbar. You can take issue with it because it's Bamidbar Sinai. But anyway, parsha.
You couldn't call the thing by one name, by one word. You'd have to give it full time.
It would have to be Bamidbar Sinai. All right. Anyway, the first. Basically, all Perek Aleph gives us the census of the different tribes. Perek Beis gives us the way in which they traveled around the Mishkan with the degalim, with the flags and everything. And in the middle of all this, we have a number of different references to the way the tribe of Levi is not counted with all the other Shvatim. And of course, their counting is given to us in Perek Gimel, in chapter 3. And chapter 3 explains how the Levim were designated to serve in the Mishkan alongside the Kohanim in whatever capacity. It tells us how they were counted from a month and older, as opposed to everybody else who was counted from 20 and up. And it also tells us at what age they were. And it's an interesting discussion, which I'm not going to get into today, about the way in which their age is described in this week's Parsha, and I believe in next week's Parsha, I don't remember which one is which, but one of them talks about how they would start from 25 and go until 50, and the other one talks about how they would go from 30 until 50. So why that distinction is not for our discussion now. But anyway, and at the very end of the Parsha, Perek Dalet, we are introduced to the jobs of the B'nai Kahas, when we're told, Naso es Rosh B'nai Kahas. And that is, of course, a prelude to Parshas Naso, when we're told the same thing about the B'nai Gershon and about the B'nai Merari. Naso is used to describe, to introduce the B'nai Kahas and the B'nai Gershon in their jobs in terms of what they would carry of the Mishkan when the B'nai Israel would travel. And the word Naso is not used in the context of introducing B'nai Merari, but that's already in next week's Parsha. So what we're going to do tonight is we are going to just look at some of the select things. Interesting, of course. I don't know how much of it is mind-blowing. That's okay. Hopefully it's at least new, and that is our goal for this evening. Okay, and I'm sure, because I only gave you 3 pages tonight, that we'll probably be able to get through the whole source little packet. Okay? All right.
Is this the whole of the...
No, the whole of the whole of the Bamidbar was only 8 pages on my on my thing. So I pulled out 3 pages worth, and that's our discussion tonight. Okay, so the first thing is after telling us the names of the Nesi'im, or the leaders of these tribes, I guess they are the Nesi'im, right? Which is what Rishon discusses. We move on to Sheni, and Sheni tells us, Vayubnei Ruvein b'chor Yisrael, told us some, which was the base of some. Oh, I once spoke about this b'chor Yisrael, why that's mentioned here. There's some great stuff on that. Okay, but he doesn't really address that. He focuses on the next phrase, which is, b'mispar shemos l'gulgul osam, kol zachar mi ben nesrim shana v'malak kol yotzei tzava. Okay, b'mispar shemos. So let's take a look at the Aksav Yakabal says b'mispar shemos. So first he quotes the Vilna Gaon, Hagra, the pasuk zeh la yichus, the pasuk haba al aminyan. So what does that mean? Let's take a look back at the pasuk to understand what he's referring to. B'mispar shemos the gul glosam kol zachar mi ben nesrim shana v'malak kol yotzei tzava. What does that mean? B'mispar shemos, with the numbers of the names, the gul glosam, gul glos is a head, a head count. Kol Zachar, every male, we've been a stream of a mile from 20 and up, Kol Yotzei Tzava. That's an interesting discussion as well, what Kol Yotzei Tzava means. He gets into that a little more. I mean, he actually addressed it in the beginning, but the commentary, he had a number of different components on Pasuk Gimel, which I did not give you. If anybody wants it, I'll be happy to email it to you if you want to go through it on your own. We're going to look at where he discusses the Tzava in the next parak. If you look at the bottom of page 1, you'll see Utsva Avuf Kudehem, because there I thought it was a little more clear where he was going with it, as opposed to the way that he does it in Pasuk Gimel. Anyway, so we have Kol Yotzeitzava Pekudehem the Matei Ruvain, the accountings of the tribe of Ruvain, Shishavi Arim Elof Hamesh Meos is 46,500. So getting back to what he says here, The first pasuk of Mispar Shemos is talking about Yichus. In other words, it's the families. Right? That's the Mishpachosam, Levei Sevosam. HaPasuk Abba, the second pasuk in each of these little paragraphs, you can see very clearly in the Chumash how each shevet gets its own little paragraph of Tupsukim. The second one talks about Minyan, the counting. Ki achar sheyigidu shemosam, monu kol shemos shel kol
shem.
What? These would be peis. Peis means psucha, right? That means it's open to the end of the line. So these are all peis. Yeah, these are all peis. Okay, so ki achar sheyigidu shemosam, monu kol shemos shel kol shem. After it gave us the names, it counted the names of the entire shevet. Imkain. Ain b'mispar lashon minyan kiim lashon hagada. So in other words, when it says b'mispar shemos, it doesn't really mean a number, because the number is not really being given to us here. The number is being given to us in the context of pikudehem. So what is b'mispar shemos? Yeah, it's telling us lashon hagada. It's telling us something. Kimo chishmo gidon es mispar hachalom. Mispar doesn't mean number here. It means a story. Okay, it's like from the word sipur. L'tuvunaso ain mispar. Right, you can't tell over what God's tavuna is. Right, it's about enunciation of speech. What does it mean? How did you know who the mishpachos were? Basically, whoever was doing the census said, "All right, which family are you?" They would be misaper.
Oh, I'm from Yehuda.
Shemoso. From whatever mishpacha. In other words, from the mishpacha of the tribe. So the chiddush here is that mispar doesn't mean number, because pekudehem means number. Mispar comes from the word sipur, lisaper, to tell over, and that is, and that of course gets rid of the question of why would it say the number of the names, when it doesn't tell us the number of the names. That's in the next pasuk when it says pekudehem. Okay, so that's not mind blowing, but it's good, you know, yeah. But it's good, it's insightful. Yeah. Okay, pekudav. Ah, so this is good. Now take a look. You have to look at the pesukim to understand the question. So we saw with respect to Reuven, the Torah tells us, "Vayubnei Reuven b'chol Yisrael tov l'sam l'shachasam l'leitzvusam b'mispar shemos l'gulgulosam kol zachar b'nesrishan avam alakol yisayzava." Look at Shimon, b'nei Shimon tov l'sam l'shachasam l'leitzvusam. So that starts the same way that Reuven did, and then it says, "Pikudav b'mispar shemos l'gulgulosam." See how it adds the word "pikudav," and it doesn't do that anywhere else. Now the next pasuk it says, "Pikudehem." Every other tribe has that. Pikudehem l'matei, whatever. Okay, but this word pikudav is added when it comes to the tribe of Shimon. Okay. I don't know why I took away the pasuk number. I should have included that. Anyway, it's chapez. Manishtana Shimon shenema rab pikudav. The Ksavah Kabbalah asks, why with respect to the tribe of Shimon does it say pikudav? She'enu b'shar shivatim, which another tribe has. Malamei shayu asidin le'fokeid mishivto. Shari chasru b'chumash ha'pikudim lamed zayin elef umei'a. 37,100 are going to be missing. Okay, because later on, the tribes are going to be counted again. So what do we have here? What's the number? Here we have Tisha B'chamishim Elef. Right, what does that mean? 59,300. And in Parshas Pinchas, there's going to be another census. Hayu Mishpachos HaShimoni Shnayim V'Esrim Elef Masayim. 22,200. Crazy discrepancy, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know why that discrepancy is, but Rashi Kasav Sham L'Piyach Chisaron Shechasim Yishevet Shimon Miminyan Arishon Shebekan Nir Shekol Achav Dalad El Shemes Ma Geifa B'Dvar Bil, that all 24,000 who died in the plague at the end of Parshas Balak, which leads into the beginning of Parshas Pinchas.
The Cosby situation? They involved in the...
Cosby. You can't say Cosby. That sounds like a certain comedian who was just convicted of all kinds of things. Cosby, Kamatz, okay? Cosby and Zimri. Yeah, so, yeah, that's what it's talking about. That plague, the Baal Peor, 24,000. All 24,000 people who died at that time, in that Magifa, after Parshas Balak, it was the whole Bilam, they came, Mishivto Shel Shimon Aflu. They all fell from the tribe of Shimon. The Afshash, Mitamzeh Bashinu, the Kaman, Parsha Beis, and he says, maybe that's why this change comes here. The Chol, the Hachonim Sham, Chaserim, Vav, Umleim Yud Bar Min V'Hachonim D'Shevet Shimon K'siv Malei V'Mechaser Yud. So in other words, he says there's a premonition for the way Shimon is going to be presented to us in the next parak. In the next parak, in parak base. If you look, let's see. I didn't find the pasuk. Let's see. It was Reuven, Shimon, and Gad who were in one group. So let's see where it is. Yeah, Degel Machane Reuven. I'm just looking ahead for a second. It's on page 734. It says V'Hachonim Alav. I'm sorry. Whenever it talks about V'Hachonim Alav, before that, it's written in this way: V'Hachonim Vav before at the beginning. And no vav after the chas in chonim, and then when it and with a yud in chonim, and then when it comes to Shimon pasuk yibeis vehachonim, there is a vav after the chas and no yud after the nun, which is different than the way every other time vehachonim appears. Mm-hmm. So in other words, he's saying that these discrepancies are drawing attention to Shimon, saying that something major is going to happen later on in the Torah with respect to the tribe of Shimon that is going to indicate why. There are major changes between how they are here and how they're going to appear later in Parshas Pinchas. Okay, so that's it. So basically, Pikudav and Vachonim show us something strange. It's a premonition. Okay, this whole section in Parak Aleph concludes with the final census. Pasuk Mem Dalet, Eila Hapikudim. So I'm now on page 730 in the Chumash. Eila Hapikudim Asher Pakad Moshe V'Aaron Tzei Yisrael Shnei Mosar Ish. These Ishachal Beis Avosav Hayu. So these are the Pekudim. These are the countings that Moshe and Aaron, leaders of Israel, counted. Who are the leaders of Israel? They're 12 men, one man per Shevet. Right? And those people were introduced to us at the very beginning of the Parsha. Ish Echad Beis Avosav Hayu. Vayu Kol Pekudei Bnei Israel Beis Avosam. Miben Esim Shana V'Mala. Kol Yitzei Tzavah Yisrael. So all the countings of the people were to the households were 20 and up. Kol Yitzei Tzavah Yisrael. Vayu kol ha-pikudim sheish meos alef u'shloshes alefim chameish meos ha-chamishim. So this is the number is 603,550, which is a number which I believe also appears in the book of Shemos. I believe there's a census somewhere in Kisisa. And so that's the number which they have. And fine. So now what's the problem here? We have in Pasuk Mem Hey, by you call Pekudei Bnei Israel. And then in Pasuk Mem Vav, you call Pekudim. Both of these phrases more or less mean all the countings of. So why do you need them both? By you call Pekudei. Derech HaTorah. L'chlol achar sheparat tchila. The Torah's method is to give us a general accounting, let's say, after it was specific. V'chein kan. אחר שפרט בכל אחד מהשבטים שלושת התנאים במניינם שהיה לבייס אבוסם ובבני חפה למעלה ושהיוצא צבא. So after the Torah told us regarding each tribe that they were from to the בייס אבוסם 20 and up יוצא צבא חזב יאמר על כלל המניין שהיו שלושת התנאים הללו. So then it summarized based on the principle of those three methods of identifying the population of the Bnei Israel. So he says that this is when it says here, Leveis Avosam, it's not something it's summarizing what everything up until now has been. It's not something which is extra, because this is what the Bekudei Bnei Israel were. Kodei Bnei Yisrael were counting Beis Avosam, Ben Esrim Shana V'Mala, and Kol Yitzei Tzavah. So that's what Pasuk Mem Hei is. It's a summation of everything that came until now, identifying these three points of notification regarding the counting of the Bnei Yisrael. And of course, as I mentioned in the very brief introduction, that all of the Cheshbon here leads into the explanation. If you look in Pasuk Mem Zayin, V'halavim L'matei Avosam Lo'as Pakdu B'Sochom, that the Levim were not counted amongst everybody else, then that introduces us to Achas Matei Levi, Pasuk Mem Tas, Lo'asiv Kod, Mesor Sham Lo'asisa, B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, don't count them, don't raise their heads, etc. amongst B'nei Yisrael, because you're going to count them separately, and they're going to be counted as Levim, and not as part of the B'nei Yisrael. So, Pasuk Mem Tas, back in the Ksava Kabbalah, Avabi Shemarti, so it was Rosh Kladas B'nei Israel, even though I said, meaning God said, that you have to su'u, raise, count, Rosh, all the heads of Kladas B'nei Israel, Of course, Leviim are part of the Bnei Israel. Nivdalim hei misharam Israel, binyan aminyan. They are actually separated from the Bnei Israel, the rest of Bnei Israel, when it comes to their counting. Shiloya mispari shehem, velo schum kalul imashar. That their number of people and their and the way in which
they're
right, it's not part of that group. Vezel lo tifkod, and that's what lo tifkod means. Don't count, because remember we saw the distinction between lispor, which was mispar shemos, was about telling the names, and pekuda, which is referring to counting. Lo yev mispar yishehem ben chafal lamala kamosha yesharam. There, the way in which their people are enumerated is not from 20 and up. V'yas rosham lo sisa, you're not going to raise their heads. Kishita'aseh eschum kudas kol ha'shvatim lo yikunas b'schum shevet levi. Okay, so I mean, I'm not really sure why I share this per se, except that it's just reminding us that Levi is going to be separate for a whole bunch of reasons. Okay, so let's move on to that.
Who is the Rei Zayin Zayin?
I don't know. He quotes Rei Zayin Zayin. I don't know what it is. That's the parenthesis.
Yeah, I see
it. Yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is. Okay, we move on. So Perak Beis. Perak Beis, as I said before, introduces us to the way in which they camped around the Mishkan. I don't know if there's a map in the Arch of Chumash for this. Sometimes in the back they have it, but maybe not in the Chumash that we all have, where the Mishkan is at the center and the different families of Levi are around the Mishkan. Moshe and Aaron and their families, whatever degree Moshe's family was present, it's not clear, but Aaron's family is the Kohanim, and Moshe were in one camp, and then they had Kaz, Gershon, and Merari on different sides of the Mishkan. And then the Torah describes where all the other, these other three groups were, and how they're grouped is is an interesting discussion, but we're not going to get into that now. So, but it tells us about how they camped and how and what their flags were, and look at Pasuk Dalet. In explaining to us who's in the east, so Yehuda is in charge in the east. So their tzava and their fekuda, right, and their counting is 74,600. Okay, and then now the numbers which are in Perek Beis, if you want to have fun, you can match them up to Perek Aleph. They're the same. There's no discrepancy here. It was the same. It was the same census. They didn't do the census twice. But anyway, so this is the question. Utzva'av ufkudehem. Okay, so take what is tzava and what is pikuda? Ha'pikudim heim bi'atzma matzava kakasubahem kol yotzei tzava. He says the counting is the yotzei tzava.
The same thing.
Right, what does yotzei tzava mean? Can we translate yotzei tzava?
Those who go out to the army?
Right, isn't that what it means? Right, right, mm-hmm. Right, right. Wrong, okay. Okay, l'chein yom ramaforshim sh'avav hu labiyur. So that's why some of the commentaries say that the vav means tzva'av ufkudehem. The tzva'av means that's the counting, and pkudehem explains that that's what tzva'av means. The aim was that time, since that's nonsense. It's telling us that the countings are those who are yotzei tzva'av. So ma'alo lichpoloso b'zobar parsha rabam b'chol shevet shevet. Why are you telling us these numbers again?
You're like okay. Double counting.
All right, so skip to the middle of the fourth line, veneerly.
Okay.
Ki tzva'av u'pkudav heim shnei chalakim. That tzva'av and pkudav are two different things. Pkudav heim anim nimi ben esrim shana v'malo. That the counting that we're talking about are those who are counted from 20 and up. U'tzva'av heim shelo bo'ul chlal minyan v'heim anshei beis av. And that the tzva'av are those who are not actually counted.
Older?
Kol hanashim, habanim v'habanos shel hanimnim. So it's the women and all the children who are under age 20. Okay? Sons and daughters. Ein safek, ki kol eila hayu nosim v'shevet shel hametzo ha'malacha. It's like, duh, obviously, these families are traveling with their shevet, v'metzo ha'machanos, as the camps go. It's not just, that you have your soldiers, call it Saint Sava, and those are the only people who are traveling. Of course, people travel with their families. It's not like, women and children, in a separate camp. Everybody's traveling together. Kakasuv, Vayaris Yisrael Shochein L'Shvatav. Remember when Bilaam looked and he tried to curse the Bnei Israel, he saw other Bnei Israel dwelling as their Shevet. And as their Shevet doesn't mean as army, it means as families. Matobu Alech Yaakov. Shero Pischeyen. Shelo Yimchu Vanim Zok Neged Zo. Shelo Yitzitzach Ol Chaver. He saw the way that they were in camp, that the openings of their tents didn't face one another, so that each person had each family had privacy. Everybody had a tent for his family. And the way that they encamped, that's the way they traveled. Every shevet had two kinds of sections or methods. Those who were counted 20 and up, those are the pikudim. So when we talk about tzva'av ufkuda, ufkudehem, pikudim are the 20 and up. So you see what it's saying? This is a little mind-blowing. Right, we think tzva means army-age people.
Those are
20 and up. And he's saying, no, pikudim is 20.
Yeah, I
the people of the household of everyone, behem nigreim udati tzva'av. Says that's what tzva is. Ki ein tzva v'chol makom al-chayil hayotzeh l'milchama. Every time you have the word tzva, it doesn't necessarily mean soldiers who go out to war. Ki gam b'levim she'ena miyotzei milchama. Right, the levim weren't soldiers. Rak miyuchadim lavodas hamikdash nemar aliyam tzva.
I always thought they were armies of God.
Okay,
right?
That's because you're a Chabadnik at heart. That's why. Okay, kol ba latzva lasos b'lacha ba'om away. That's the way the levim are described. They are ba latzva to do the work in the omoy. That what does tzva mean? It means a chevra, group of people who gather. Right? Tzva, which goes out to war, they're a group that gathers to do that. The Levim who do their mishmar, they are also a tzva, klomar chevra. Gesellschaft, Verein.
Gesellschaft is a
social group. Ukvar dibarnu mizeh, beparshas bo, yitzayin. I'm not sure pasuk mamalf, I guess it is. That doesn't make any sense.
Verein is a.
Hold on, no. Yitzayin mamalf. Parshas bo does not have. It's not parak yitzayin. Parshas bo. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay? He says the main thing that you learn, that you take from the word tzva, is the root tzadi base. Now, that's a quote from the pasuk in Rus. Just turn over are you guys on page 2 already?
We already switched to it.
Okay, so look at the bottom of this little section. I gave you the pasuk and the translation. The gam shol tashu perak beis. This is what Boaz says. V'gam sholta shalula min hatzivasim azatem l'gita. Also pretend to forget some of the
bundles
for her. Okay, so that's what it is. Bund.
That's where
it
gets chever from.
Right. V'hu krach shibolim bund. Chibur shibolim nifradim. U'mizel rabu seinu archem rechika. So now he's giving us a number of quotes from different places in the Gemara, which essentially make this exact point. That Sadi Beis refers to a bundle, refers to a group. Skip to the line that starts with Vereinigung. Vereinigung? Vereinigung?
Where's that?
I know, Tom. Right, the family, they're attached to this guy who was counted. So they are called his tzva. And again, it doesn't write. They're grouped in, they're attached to him. Right. It's not about army. We are Amara Kasuv Khan. Right? Zaino unanger. Okay. We are Amara Kasuv Khan. Cholachab and Ashvatim Tzvav, Kudab Lodienu, Shaloya, Ishmehem, Nefrav, and Udam, and Shebeso. There was no man who was separated from his family. Af Bederech Masa Atam. Even in their travels, Loi Sakan Sibalios, Lachabem, Datom, Utredis, Badagam, Mamad, and Shebeso. Nobody needed to, you know, in his travels, worry about what's going on with his family because he was with his family. And that's why it tells us everybody had their local soldier was with them. Okay, so the miluim you know, what we might call today in Israel, the reservists. The reservists were, each one had his post duty, and his guard duty was for his family, for his personal tzava, while he is counted as part of the
Pikudim.
Okay, so there you go. Cool, okay, so
that's
you go.
A little wild. I mean, it's,
all right, it's great. Great. Okay. All right. Now that leads us to, that takes us through Perek Beis. The Perek Beis is just a constant repeat of this same kind of idea of how they're counted. And that leads us to Perek Gimel. Okay? Perek Gimel. Be'el toldos Aaron and Moshe, we're on page 736. These are the generations of Aaron and Moshe. Beyond the Hashem is Moshe Har Sinai. When God, the time that Hashem spoke to Moshe Har Sinai, Be'el Shmos Bnei Aaron B'chor Nadav Yuel Zavi Samar. Okay, so the issue here is that when it tells us about the Toldos Aaron and Moshe, it only tells us about Aaron's children. It doesn't mention Moshe's at all. So of course, what does Rashi famously say? Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Eino Askel Bnei Aaron. It only mentions Aaron's sons. V'nigru told us Moshe Levishalim Don Torah. Right, Moshe told them, taught them Torah. Lamech Kolam Lamech. It's been Chaver Torah. Ma'ala Levakasa Kilu Yodo. That if you teach your friend's kid Torah, it's as if you gave birth to him. It's as if he's your child. Okay, so that's one approach, and the Ksava Kabbalah does begin with that, but I cut that part out to give you the part which I wanted to focus on. Which starts with what I gave you on page 2. Hinei, achar shodiakasu mikodem skum hakol el apkudim ha'ila shayu ke'evs b'gmar v'lech ha'mishkan shibati v'la b'dibur al moed b'okhan ha'kasu v'lodiya ki apkudim ha'ila im b'yatsman ozan apkudim shibay yichais shiftehem al yidei Aaron ha'moshe ve'eish shayu ha'dibur ha'moshe b'har Sinai. Okay, so in other words, what it's telling us here is that all the pikudim which preceded this designation of Aaron and Moshe in the Pasuk are the same Pikudim which took place at Har Sinai. Okay, I mentioned before in, I'm pretty sure it's a Parshas Kisisa that has that, where the number is exactly the same, 603,550.
Nobody died in all.
Okay, so that's the question. Okay, now, can we imagine that there weren't more people? Well, if there were new babies born, that's fine. They're not counted anyway in the 603,550. Right. Right, because they're under 20. They're not counted anyway. So the question is, what, did nobody become 20 year older? And did nobody die? Right? Is that what it means? Yeah. So how does the balancing act work out?
Okay.
So he says that it's the same thing. In other words, the point of telling the Eilu told us Aaron and Moshe b'yom diber Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai, that it's the same generations of Aaron and Moshe in the time that Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. In other words, the numbers are the same. Remember, how did they count the people? Parshas Kisisa talks about the Chatzi Shekel. That's how they did the census. So that's why it's a reference to what took place at Har Sinai. Davar Gadol. What the Pasuk is telling us here is something pretty incredible. They were at least 7 months from that, from the time of that census to this one. Moshe came down from the mountain with the second set of luchos, it's Yom Kippur, and they did the census pretty soon after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the date which is given to us at the beginning of this parsha, that it was on the first day of Iyar, so 7 months later. Everybody who came to the first,
so no one died.
Minyan of the Pikudim?
No.
Correct.
The first,
now, my reservation with all this is what, nobody became 20?
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that I don't really get. But anyway, so that actually lends itself to an interesting question.
Yeah.
And that is, how did people count birthdays? And what does that mean? Right? For example, like the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, when it talks about Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, right? It talks about Nisan. So that's for a Melech. So maybe it means that on Rosh Hashanah, everybody turns the next age. You know, I mean, like maybe that's how they viewed it.
Like,
you know,
imagine everyone had the same.
No, that's right. That's how you.
That
I'm saying so. Right. That's how you. Maybe that's an answer. I'm just trying to think of a teretz of how you could say that nobody became 20. So maybe if you just count everybody's age at Rosh Hashanah, for example, So if you do it, let's say at Tishrei, which makes sense because you know Hayom Haras Olam.
7 months.
It's right. So it's before that. I just made that up right now.
It
so
works.
Right. So it certainly works. And it's a valid argument because this is right after, right? It's right after Yom Kippur, and this is 7 months later, clearly before the next Rosh Hashanah. So sounds reasonable. I'll buy it. Okay. Right. Both at 603,550. Skipping the parentheses. Right. This is the opposite of the way of the world. Am HaTorah, the nation of the Torah, Ein b'chol nyonei omu alma rak nisim nisarim v'neflos ne'alam lo teva minag. Says that the nation of Torah, there's nobody else has miracles, like hidden miracles and niflos, you know, that are against teva, but against nature. Yiridas haman b'chol yom yochiach, right, the falling of the man every day, hakafas ananei hakavod, with the clouds all around, haba'er, the well, haslav, the whatever it is, the quail, the birds, whoever is living this kind of existence, which is not the way the rest of the world lives, ain't tema. There's no wonder if nobody died during that time. Reim is Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi. He's a commentary on Rashi. To support what Rashi says. I made that up. I didn't read through this whole thing carefully. So there you go. Okay. Minyan Shno Samibar, Umitishrei, Shurash Shalom Riyas Shalom Rishon, the Lok Rambansha. Okay, so that's, I was Baruch Shech Ivanti to the Rabbi Yael Zrach. Yitachain, Gevan Shanadava, Lamalacha Samishkan, Haisel Lahoros, Kapara Savon Egel, since the gifting to the work of the Mishkan was meant to be an atonement for the Egel. The Aaron Shahaiselo Nigia Ktsasbo, and Aaron who was, you know, was involved, Ain Safik Shishtadil Harbe ibn Nidavazo. There's no doubt that Aaron had a lot to do in those Nidavas. Lachain Higdim Akasukan is Aaron the Moshe. And that's why when it tells us these are the toldos of Aaron and Moshe.
He played a bigger role.
Because Aaron played a bigger role in the Nidava to bring about atonement for whatever happened in the Chet HaEgel. And they have to bear in mind, of course, that the Chet HaEgel, which took place when? Shivasur B'Tamuz, right? Mm-hmm. That's when Moshe comes down. So that's when that's taking place. People died at that point. That's before the census. The census takes place Yom Kippur. Okay, two more 40-day trips, you know, to Har Sinai. And then, so anybody who died there is not part of the census to begin with. Okay, Rabbi Seinu, Sha'amru, the fish shalamdu mimoshe nikru shalamdu
nikrubanu.
Sha'amru, the fish shalamdu mimoshe nikrubanu. The rabbis who said that Aaron's sons, because they learned from Moshe, they are like Moshe's sons. Ein zalem kavanah rishonah mikra. This is it's not clear from the text. Rakevin yelahoros al minyan arishon levad have matzikra lemei marve elub kudei Aaron Moshe vatsiakas v'loshem toldos. Sheyesh bogam kavana toldos sabanim. So he says the pasuk, because the pasuk uses the word toldos, which sometimes means toldos of children, but sometimes it means this is the story of the times, right? Ela toldos hashemayim ve'aretz. Ela toldos hashemayim ve'aretz mi'boram.
Right,
it's history. It's not. It's not the shemayim ve'aretz didn't give birth to anybody, right? I mean, maybe the aretz did technically to Adam. All right, whatever, but that you know what I mean. Alzavro, so that's what they're talking about because they said, oh no, toldos must mean children, and therefore, but then he's saying that's not what it means. The chavanah shnia zeh zol l'lamedba shehem banav l'limudam imenu, that they're his sons because they learned from him. Well, drash hazot tzrichin lefaresh biyom diber miyom diber. So biyom diber is referring to what happened at Har Sinai. But the drasha is saying it's from the time that Moshe started to talk to them in learning and began to teach them to be osu yom atz Moshe, diber Hashem and Moshe, Har Sinai lo lamdan, because bi yom diber, on the day that God actually spoke to Moshe, Moshe hadn't taught anybody yet. Because where's Moshe when God spoke to him?
On a mountain.
When you're on a mountain, you're not talking to anybody down here. So the point is that there are different ways to understand toldos, and he says those who follow the Rashi approach, he clearly doesn't agree with Rashi, they're just trying to answer what the word toldos means, but that's not the only meaning of the word toldos. And so therefore, it's more about the, you know, the storyline, and why is Aaron mentioned first? Because of Aaron's involvement in the continuation of the story of the Jewish people through trying to bring atonement for the Chet HaEgel. All right.
That's good stuff.
Good. I didn't say it's not going to be interesting. I just said it's, you know, okay. Anyway.
All right.
We move on. So, it's Pasuk Yibes. So up until now, the Pesukim just explain how the Bnei Levi are going to be, they're going to be counted. And then Pasuk Yibes tells us that in what's the specific reason that the Levi are going to be counted, not so much reason, but that they are going to be replacing the Bechoros. Okay, remember that the firstborns of the Bnei Yisrael originally were designated in their Kadosh. It's one of the reasons why we have Pinyon Bechor, and which we would have anyway, but that they're going to replace the firstborns, Levim are going to replace the firstborns in terms of doing the service in the Mishkan. Vani, Pasuk says, Hinei lekachti ha-Levim adok b'nei Yisrael, tachas kol b'chor b'terechem, b'nei Yisrael. I take the Levim in the place of each firstborn, v'hayu li ha-Levim, and now the Levim become for me the Levim. Okay? Ki li kol b'chor, b'yom ha-kosi kol b'chor b'eretz Yisrael, all firstborns became mine on the day that I struck the firstborns, v'igdashti li kol b'chor b'Yisrael, v'yadam ad-re'ima li hi ani Hashem. Right? So there's two ways of taking a b'chor. One way you take a b'chor is you take his life. Boom. Another way you take the b'chor is you say, you're kadosh to me. So the b'choros, that was their gift from God when they were not killed in Egypt, that they became sanctified. So, they were supposed to serve as the Mishkan, but they lost that opportunity on account of the Shvatim all being involved in the Egel, in the worshipping of the golden calf. So the Levim, who were not involved in that, they get the role of the b'choros up until now. And so they end up having to redeem them. And so the number of the Levim happens to coincide more or less with the number of the Bechoros. 22,000 Levim replaced 22,000 Bechoros. 300 Levim were firstborns and they replaced themselves because they were firstborns and Levim. And then you have 273, what?
No, I'm sorry, Greg. Keep going.
Yeah, and then you have 273 additional firstborns over the number of Levim. Okay, so those needed to be redeemed, and they're each redeemed for 5 slime. So anyway, that's just the math that the Torah gives us, and that's how you understand. But anyway, so here's the question. Pasuk Yibes says, "Vani yinei lekachtis ha-levim mitoch b'nei Yisrael." I took the levim from amongst the b'nei Yisrael. Misibas chorshe avon ubali mizimos from b'nei Yisrael lekachtis ha-levim tachas b'chor. Right, on account of the things which they did wrong, I've been taking the levim in place of every b'chor. The mishechatu Yisrael be'egel v'nitpulu ha-b'chorim ma'am l'chein ipsalu. See, this is all the Ksavot Kabbal is doing here is explaining to us why the firstborns were lost and the levim took their place. Okay, mitoch kemo umirma. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. Umirma vasoch. So if you look a little, if you look down below, you'll see it because I gave you that pasuk, but we'll get to it in a second. That what is this word vasoch? Read it. Ela piu malei umirmos vasoch. His mouth is full of oaths and deceits and guile. So soch means guile. Now this is a mind blowing. Okay. Va'ani hinei lakachti es halavim. Mitoch b'nei Yisrael. He says the word mitoch does not mean from among b'nei Yisrael, but I'm taking them on account of the toch of the b'nei Yisrael, the guile, the targumo sheker. Back in the Ksav HaKabbalah. Okay, so that's the chiddush of this one.
That's the chiddush of this one.
Mitoch and again, but this is how he gives a few proofs and he quotes Tehillim, Tehillim Yud, Tehillim Tzadihei, Tehillim Ayin Beis. We have the word which means sheker, and that is the idea here.
I like how you posted Pasuk.
Right, right. I had to because I didn't know. I would not have been able to translate. Okay, so there we go. V'hayu le'alavim aval ha'levi'im nisharu oz be'munasi. The Levi'im, they remain faithful to me. V'lo tome me'acharai be'avon ha'egel. They didn't turn away from behind me when it came. You know, they didn't go behind my back, so to speak, with the egel. Paul ayayim lamed acharav yoral kinyan davar kama vayhili shor v'yatzav v'aysa l'ish v'hayu li halaviyim. It means that that they're mine. That's essentially what it means. So he's saying v'hayu means that they automatically became. V'hayu li halaviyim. That switch really just happened automatically. B'choros, they fouled up, they lost it, and Leviim immediately became. So, in other words, how do you translate the word v'hayu? V'hayu, and they will be? V'hayu, and they were. And that's what he's saying it means. V'hayu, that they actually became right away. Okay, Pasuk Yigimol, Kili, which we already saw inside, Kili Kabachor, God says that all the Bechors are mine. Perish Aval, B'chorei Leviim, Yisharuli, Kimikadem, V'lo Yichnasu, B'chlal, Shar Leviim, Lios Pidyon, Al B'chorei Yisrael. That the firstborns, and I kind of mentioned this in explaining the math, that the 300 Leviim that were also firstborns, they remain in their capacity. In other words, they don't have to lose their Bechorah status.
Are they
grandfathered in? Yeah, basically. A Bechor doesn't redeem a Bechor, but dying lahavkias atzmam. Right? They basically redeem themselves. I'm a Levi, I'm a Bechor, well, so now it's my Levi status which overrides my Bechor status. Not that my Bechor status loses anything, but I can replace myself. Those firstborn Leviim remained in their Kedusha. Right? They didn't lose anything. It's not because of their being counted as part of the Bechor Yisrael. God says, I'm taking the Leviim. Shemashma utol kol shevet Levi, and I'm taking all the Leviim. Af bechorehem yulepidyon bechorei Israel. That even the Levi, the bechors of Levi will replace the bechorei Israel. Leshlol zeh, to negate that amar acharav kili kol bechor. Because what did you have? If you do the math in the way that the Leviim are counted, so you have to add up the way that Kehas is counted, the way Gershon is counted, and the way Merari is counted, and the final number that you get there is 22,300 Leviim. And yet, when the Torah depicts for us the number of Leviim, it tells us 22,000. Okay?
Yeah.
When it counts the number of Bechoros, it tells us 22,273.
Okay.
So, there's a little bit of a discrepancy, because the Leviim, when you count them by their families, it's 22,300. But when the Torah gives us a final number, it's 22,000. So why does it give us the number 22,000? Because it's 22,000 who are going to replace 22,000 of the Bechors. There are more Leviim than there are actually Bechors.
Right.
But the problem is that 300 Leviim were Bechors.
So
they can't replace 273 other Bechors. They have to replace themselves. And that's why you have the discrepancy in the numbers, the 273. So he's essentially explaining how all that works out. So we're going to leave it at that. Okay. All right. Let's conclude with the very last section, which is Perek Dalet. Okay, Perek Dalet is where we are told about the rules of the family of Kehas. Now, the family of Kehas, first of all, the job, they were going to carry the Kelim of the Mishkan, the actual Kelim of the Mishkan. So it tells us what was supposed to happen. Pasuk Hey, if you look on page 744, that Aaron and his sons, the Kohanim, they take down the Parochas, and they cover the Aaron, and then they cover up the other vessels, the Shulchan, the Menorah, etc. Okay? And that is what their job is. In other words, the Kohanim are going to be doing that. And then the B'nai Kehas, their job is to actually carry all this stuff. And it goes on to describe all the different things which they're going to do in terms of covering things and how they're going to carry it. But Pasuk Tesvav summarizes and says, V'chila Aaron v'anav, l'chasos es ha-kodesh, v'eskol k'le ha-kodesh v'tzom ha-chanev, v'achar echen yavav b'nai Kehas ha-seis, v'lo yigu al ha-kodesh v'mesu. So Aaron and his sons actually covered everything. And the B'nai Kehas then came in and they were not supposed to touch anything, but they weren't supposed to touch things that they weren't supposed to touch, but they were allowed to carry. Okay, Eila Masa Bnei Kehas Ba'al Moed, and that explains their job. So take a look. Ve'achrichein Ilu Amar Acharei Belovav. If it had just said Acharei Achrichein without a vav, with that, in other words, and not say v'achrechein. Hayamashma shemiyad achar klos aron akisui bo b'nei kahas l'seis. It would seem to imply that the b'nei kahas they're waiting there, and as soon as Aaron's done, they're inside. He says there actually was a little bit of a delay. That the vav indicates a break. Aaron needed to come out and tell them, "All right, guys, now it's ready for you to do your job." As it says in the pasuk afterwards, okay, that what does it say? Okay. And then, if you look in Pasuk Yitzayin in Yirchas, where Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Ve'Aaron Lemor, Al Tachrisu Shevet Mishpachos Kahasim Tocha Leviim, don't cut off the tribe of the families of Kahas from the Leviim. Ve'Zos Asu Lahem V'Chayu V'Lo Yamusu B'Gishtamas HaKadosh HaKadoshim. Right, this is what you have to do so that they will live and not die when they come to the Kadosh HaKadoshim. Aaron of Anav Yavo, Musamu Asam Ish Ish Alvur Asawi Al Masao. Right, then Aaron and your sons, you guys have to very specifically assign the job that the B'nai Kahas are going to do, and that is extremely important. L'chein hosiv vav, so back in the Ksav HaKabbalah, third line in Tazmav, in the middle, l'chein hosiv vav, l'aroz al tosef ez mano, klamar, ve'od achrechen. So the vav is telling us, ve'od achrechen, and a little bit of time afterwards, that's when they would come. Ayin mashak sat b'haloscha. So he gives us a source where he discusses this a little further in Perek Tes Pasuk Yitzayin in the Book of Bamidbar. Okay. Al Tachrisu, so I just read that Pasuk. Don't cut off or don't cause the Kahathites to experience Kares. Al Tanichu es Hamasa'os Bofen Shizkebehen Kol HaKodem. Don't leave things in such a way remember the Mishnah and Yoma that describes the different competitions that the Kohanim had with the ramp and all that, you know, the right? He says, don't give them, you have to assign and designate. Can you imagine if the B'nai Kahas are coming in and pushing each other? I'm going to carry the Shulchan. What a bizayon that would be. Uh-huh. He says, they had to assign it. Okay? That would cause the Kares. Okay, and he mentions the case in Yoma where they were running up the mizbeach to clean out the desh, and somebody broke his leg. Another time, a guy stamped. Just terrible stories. Okay, v'samu osam lo shi'a kol hakodem zachat, shouldn't be that whoever comes first merits. Can you imagine the B'nai Kahas? I got it.
No, shotgun.
Right. Aval yamtin kol achad lios mitzua ve'osa. Each one should wait to get the instruction, and then he can go ahead and do it. That the B'nai Kahas should not come to watch. In other words, you saw how Aaron and his sons were given the specific job. You guys go in, you do your thing, you take care of everything, you cover everything, and only after everything is covered, then you call the B'nai Kahas. Lo yavo liros kisha kohen mechases klei hakodesh kidei lahagdim yishes chaveiro. Right? They should not come to watch that. That's not a spectacle. But lo yanagun kalas rosh b'ofen she yischavu misa. They shouldn't be like, did they get it done yet? Whatever it might be, we don't want to have kalos rosh with this. And it's just an important lesson, I think, in general, when it comes to how we view Mishkan and Mikdash, etc. And we can certainly apply to shul that we should be cognizant of what it is that we're dealing with, right? It's not appropriate. Yeah. It's not appropriate to be talking when the curtain is being opened, when the aron is being opened, when the Torah is being taken out. That's exactly what the B'nai Kahas were warned against, not to make kalos rosh. Not to make lightheadedness when it comes to the sanctuary. And so in our circumstance, when it's actually done publicly and it's done openly and everything is visible to everybody, we should certainly be cognizant, not that anybody's going to get curries. That's not a concern in the same way that it was for the B'nai Kahas, but it is a reminder that this is the kind of thing that's supposed to be taken seriously. So if we leave off with a Musar Haskel, there you go, that's it. And that's what we can learn from the B'nai Kahas.